Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children's name.
And it's Thursday, 7 p.m. And it's good to be on the radio. This is Brother Brandon Teague coming to you live tonight from Faith Baptist Church, Paris, Texas. And it is good to be a child of God, good to be a part of the family of God, and good to be on the radio. And on this stormy May evening here in Paris, Texas. And folks, we've had a good week. God has been good. He's blessed. And had a missionary through last night that preached our skin off. I mean, just gave it to us and preached hard at us. And he had me squirming. I tell you, I love preaching like that. And I've got my co-host on the line. He's another one that'll preach and make you squirm. Pastor Jason Cooley from Old Path Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Are you there, Brother Cooley?
I'm here, brother. It's good to be on, and we got some nice weather here for the last week. There hasn't been a snowball in sight, a fleck of snow at all. We've been blessed with good weather, and it's been a little rainy, but we're thanking the Lord for it because it's not snow, brother.
Amen. Well, I can tell you honestly, we hadn't had any cold weather, but we had some rain today, and had to get things straightened up after the missionary family left, and I spent the day, I can tell you, I spent the day outside cleaning out a wastewater tank of an RV and got in a downpour with lightning flashing all around it. It makes you appreciate God's power when you're in those conditions. But thank God for the preaching we got last night. Thank God for, you know, you were telling me, you say you never have anybody in. I've always got somebody in, but we got some preaching last night. And we praise God for it. Brother Ken Barber and his family on their way to a wedding tomorrow. We came into the program tonight. The Marksman Quartet stacked them stones. And the reason it's our theme song is we're stacking stones of truth. And that's what we try to do every week. We try to lug a stone of truth and throw it up on the pile and try to build something here that others can look to and say, you know, we need to build our life according to the Word of God, these stones of truth, and not according to what this world teaches. Brother, this world's in a mess, and I know you know that. And you've been preaching some strong messages here lately, and on these situations that our world is going through, and that our nation especially is going through, and this one in particular we're going to talk about today. I guess you could just interview me. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to try to interview you as best I can and throw a little input in there wherever I can. But tonight we're going to be talking about the curse on America. And you preached a message about that America's cursed because she shed innocent blood. And then the more we talked about it, we were talking about how there's this death culture in America, and America has gotten neck deep in this death culture. And I'm reminded of a passage of scripture over in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. I did a television show on this a number of years ago about this death culture and the goth culture that our young people were into a couple of years ago, and I guess they still are. It's kind of passed off as a phase here locally, but Proverbs 8:36 says, "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." And something that really stood out to me, Brother Cooley, my granddaughter my granddaughter came over to spend the night with us. And I know people out there listening to the radio, they think, oh, surely he's not old enough to be a grandpa. But I know I sound a lot younger than I am, but I'm a grandfather. And I've got a little blonde-headed granddaughter. She's just as pretty as she can be, as sweet as she can be, so proper and polite. She's just the apple of my eye, little blue-eyed thing. And she came over to spend the night with us, and her mother, my son, my oldest son, her dad has been out of church for a while. And he's hard to talk to. It's hard to get him to listen. And I'm praying for him. But they have gotten into things that I don't approve of, I don't like. I'm praying for them. But she came over, and the pajamas that they packed for her had, she called it her bones pajamas, brother. It had eye and a heart, and it had a little skull with a bow on top of its head.
Mm.
And she said, "That's my bones shirt." And she's being taught that loving death is good.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to be, brother, the way society is heading today. This death culture is this. Insatiable desire for war and death and bloodshed. It's all over the place. It's in our media. It's in our movies. Hollywood. I'm getting ready to preach a series on Hollywood because I hate it so much. I hate the wickedness of it. And I just want to preach to the as loud as I can on these things and just rid my home, rid my family of all this stuff and get it out, because what it's doing is it's influencing our nation, and we're in trouble. Our nation is in a lot of trouble. I'm reminded of a Bible verse, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 through 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." And we stop right there and we think of that. God hates that. God hates those hands that shed innocent blood. He
Amen.
Actually hates the hands that do it. And we don't realize that. You know, we're so far removed from the Word of God. I didn't say we were so far removed from church, or we're so far removed from a religious society or religious activity or something. We're so far removed from the Word of God that we don't understand. God says he hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
That's absolutely right. And I stand by you 100% on that. And just in recent days, we've in the news, there's been the story of Kermit Gosnell. Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
The abortion doctor from was it Philadelphia? He's charged with killing babies that were born alive. I mean, you and I know, and you and I both stand on the fact that a child becomes a child the moment conception takes place.
The Amen.
Life becomes a life. And I read, and I'm sure you read too, that he made the comment that a child like that was born alive was like meat in a crock pot.
Yep.
And my soul. Hey, you know, how any man who has ever loved, you know, had a child, a grandchild, can look at another baby and look at that child and say, "Oh, that's just meat. That's just meat laying there."
Brother, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead.
Well, brother, here's the thing. Here's what we're facing here. There's two things going on here. We have the hands that shed innocent blood, and we also have the without natural affection that the Apostle Paul said that this time would come. He said that there would be a time come where they would be without natural affection, and they'd be truce breakers. They'd just be awful, evil people, and they wouldn't have that normal, natural affection that God put inside every human being. Every person that is born with that natural affection. They're born with it. And what we're seeing today is it's gone. It's not there. Um, and I really happen to believe that these abortion doctors, and I'll get some flack for this, but you know I really don't care. I believe they're demon possessed, brother. I believe demons dwell where these guys do and around these guys and probably in these guys. This man was said to, when he aborted these babies, talking about like how they were like chicken with their heads cut off and things like that, making comments like that, and it's just demonic. It's the same thing, brother, that happened in Israel when they sacrificed their babies to Moloch, and they sent their babies through the fire, their children through the fire. God hates it, and God hates this shedding of innocent blood. And this abortion, you call it whatever you want to, it's murder. This murder
Absolutely.
That's going on of our children is what's causing judgment to come upon this nation. We are judged and we are cursed tonight because of it.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read about, I mean, you call him Moloch or Molech or however, I'm not really sure how you pronounce it, but the first account that I read of how that sacrifice took place, and for those and folks out there that don't understand, this was a Canaanite deity that they were worshiping, and you know, and when the Bible says they went whoring after other gods, well, they followed the gods of the people of the land that they went in to possess. And this false deity, it was a huge bronze statue, and it was hollow. And they would stoke a fire inside there and heat that thing until it was white hot, and it had hands extending that cupped and made an altar, and that thing would become red hot and white hot, and they would come up and they would literally place their children into those hands. And they would play loud music to muffle the screams and cries of the children. And it was said that when their bodies hit those hands, that it would draw their skin back, and they would almost look as if they were laughing hysterically. But it was a scream, but the music would blare, and it would be so loud they wouldn't hear it. I mean, that's horrifying. But yet people were doing that.
Absolutely, brother. That's exactly what was going on. Now, let's go ahead in time here, and let's go to the Bohemian Grove.
Oh,
and
you will see,
you'll see the image of Moloch there, and you will see that. Now, I happen to believe that, you know, and we're not going to talk about that a lot tonight, but I happen to believe that those false gods were somewhat of fallen angels and other things like that that were false deities, and they had power, and they built these statues and these images of these things, but that's another story altogether. But the point is that if you go to the Bohemian Grove and you see what's going on there, you see the pictures of the cremation of care and the other things that is taking place there, you'll see the same false god, the same false statue, that's the same idol that's raised up, and the same thing going on. And people, when they think about that, they're appalled. But how many of us are not appalled any longer when we hear about aborted babies? You know, when something takes place in this country, like the Boston thing, the marathon that took place, and the people that were murdered there, that's a horrible thing. We believe all lives should be protected. But here's the thing: 4,000 women stood in line and slaughtered their babies that same day, and nobody says anything about it. And you've got a president that tries to act like he really cares about people's lives, and he's nothing but a demon possessed liar. And you can put me on record for that. I'm fine
sure.
with that.
Amen. Yeah, the you know, out of one corner of his mouth, he says we should take every step to protect even one child, you know, and taking away guns. And then he turns around and you know, and says, you know, thank God for Planned Parenthood. And he didn't thank my God. He didn't thank your God for Planned Parenthood. He thanked some God, but he didn't thank the God of the Bible.
No, he thanked the God of this world is what he did, and that's who he worships, and that's who all of these people worship, and that's where this is all paganism. Another verse that I want to bring to your remembrance: and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. You know, God hates that shedding of blood, and God says that there's judgment on that cold-blooded first degree, complete, that cold-blooded murder that takes place, and the killing of that innocent blood and the shedding of the innocent blood is nothing more than satanic. And God said, don't let your eyes should not spare. Don't you let them live when they've done that, because the land is defiled because of it, and it's cursed because of it.
Amen. And you know, I think that while we're talking about that, and that reference to Bohemian Grove is fresh off our lips, I think that, you know, we're talking to a lot of people out there who have no idea what the Bohemian Grove is. And I just want to mention to them that I would encourage you to either go online and Google Bohemian Grove, or you can simply go to Alex Jones's website at www.infowars.com and look up Bohemian Grove. It's a encampment in outside of San Francisco, California, and once a year during the summer solstice, the middle of summer, when witchcraft activity is at its height, the leaders of this country, I'm talking about presidents, there are photographs with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and the higher ups in media and the higher ups in finance and all manners of business. They meet out there at this encampment. And I know this is going to sound crazy to people when I tell this, but it has been exposed. It is all. I'm not exposing anything. I'm simply reporting what's been exposed. These congressmen, senators, secretaries of state in the past. Henry Kissinger is one of the big players out there. Tip O'Neill, Newt Gingrich. I'm talking about Republicans and many Republicans, many Democrats. They've been there to this thing, and it's an all boys club, and they go and they drink and they carouse and they make plans for world domination. They go out and and not only that, but there's also been reported forever that they also bring in homosexual prostitutes. There are no women allowed at the encampment. It's only men. So you have that perversion there, the homosexual activity that goes on that is prevalent. And I know there are people that are listening to this saying, how dare he insinuate that Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush or any of these men would have anything to do with homosexual activity. But it is a known fact that that is what goes on in that place. There is a 45-foot stone mockery or effigy, I should say, to Molech. They had Walter Cronkite was the voice of the thing for many, many years. There was a ritual called cremation of care that is performed where there are people who dress up in Pope-like attire, and there is a carriage that brings in this papier-mâché effigy of a child. It's placed on an altar. There's a much drama involved in it, and this thing is set on fire, and there is a long speech given about dull care and getting rid of dull care. And what they're speaking of is getting rid of that voice that tells them you are evil. They are trying to go through some kind of a witchcraft ritual in order to alleviate the voice of conscience, which says, this is abomination and evil. They're trying to get any reference to what they're doing being evil out of their minds. They're trying to appease their conscience.
Yeah, they're trying to destroy their conscience and sear it with a hot iron so it's cauterized and there's no feeling left so they can do whatever they want to do. But the truth is that, yeah, they could turn themselves over completely reprobate, and I have to believe most of them out there are. They're a bunch of stinking, rotten heathens is what they are. I don't care if they're the President of the United States, the Vice President, the Secretary of State, rich leaders around the world. They're all a bunch of devils in, as far as I'm concerned, and what they do out there and how they lead. And what they have done is that just shows you the picture of this thing of abortion in America and why it's legal, because all it is this sacrifice unto Satan is what this stuff is, and the sacrifice unto the Mother Earth and everything else that takes place with these pagan heathens. And it's an abomination unto God, and God said that it's an abomination. He said, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. Very clearly, again, the scripture says it very clearly, and hands that shed innocent blood, God hates it. And ever since we've seen Roe versus Wade and everything else that you know, that is, since Roe versus Wade took place, we have seen the slaughter of millions and millions and millions of children, and it's just a frightening thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you that I know women who've had abortions, I mean, that are now going to church and regretting it every day of their lives. Women that have come to Christ, got born again, and they absolutely are haunted by the fact of what they've done. And, go ahead.
There's something satanic, brother, about taking a life that God has given you inside of you. It's without natural affection. It is completely opposite to the way that you have been made. You have been made with that natural intent to take care of a child as a woman. It you don't have to be a saved Christian to understand that. You were made that way. And even so, for a doctor to take his hands and shed that innocent blood and kill that life and shed that blood like that, it's demonic. It's all it is. I'm tired of pulling punches. I'm tired of all these stupid slogans. I'm tired of what America is trying to condone. God has had enough of it. The blood of America is full. God is getting tired of it, and judgment is on its way, and Barack Obama is part of the judgment that God has placed on America. We deserve worse than him. We deserve what we're getting right now. And you say, oh, how can you say that, preacher? Because America is wicked. That's why. America is cursed for shedding the innocent blood.
Amen. I was just this past weekend, brother, we had our rodeo here in, of course, I'm in Texas, so there's a lot of rodeos, but the rodeo happened here in Paris. And my son and my daughter rode in the grand entry, and we were there, and we were in the box seat, and you know, the little girl rode out with the American flag and stood in the middle of the arena, and the announcer began to talk about, you know, this great nation and all the men and women who are fighting over around the world to keep us free. And he said, regardless of what they believe in Washington, D.C., there's still a lot of people in the middle of this nation who still believe in all the things that made America great. And they began to play that national anthem. And, brother, I just wanted to weep. I really wanted to weep, because people just don't see it. They just don't understand that nation that they're talking about just doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't, and it's a nation that is cursed now. I'm reminded of some verses in Leviticus chapter 18. God said to the Israelites, he said, and these are principles to live by. We understand we're not under Levitical law, but we are under principles of the Word of God, and life is to be held as precious. And that doesn't change in whatever dispensations you believe in or however far you take that. Nothing changes there. God said to preserve life. That is what God commanded us to do. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation or any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it is spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. You know, we don't have a proper judgment any longer on murder either. We'll get to talking about that in the next hour, really. But you know, God is saying here that Israel, he said, I gave you this land, and I expect you to preserve life in this land. I don't expect you to slaughter. I don't expect you to sacrifice your babies. I don't expect you to do those things. I expect you to obey me and preserve life.
Right. Amen. And, you know, I know, yeah, like you said, you know, we're not living under Levitical law, but, you know, one thing's for sure, when God, if God ever hates sin, he still hates sin.
Amen.
He's not a God that changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And murder's still murder. And it doesn't make any difference what name you put on it. It doesn't matter if you call it euthanasia. It doesn't matter if you call it ethnic cleansing. It doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter if you call it early-term abortion, late-term abortion. It is still murder, and God hates it. And God is not going to let it. He's not going to wink at it. And and brother, we're just, and it's, I mean, how many times can you say how sickening it is? But it's sickening. And, you know, I mean, we live in a time, we live in a nation, we live in a culture where, you know, I saw the little thing posted on Facebook time and time again, you know, if you destroy some eagle's eggs, they gave the punishment from, and I can't remember what the punishment was, but it was a pretty severe penalty for destroying an eagle's eggs in a nest. And, you know, they come down hard on you for that. But if you kill a baby, you know, they applaud you.
Well, let me tell you, brother, what they did in the state of Minnesota here. They passed a law here recently to crack down on canine on anybody that hurts a canine dog. And if you injure that canine dog, that's an officer, and boy, you're going to be punished. And everybody's standing up and clapping. And that same governor, that same devil-led governor of ours here in Minnesota will clap for that and be all happy for that and everything else and think that he's some kind of a hero. But at the same time, he is perfectly fine with the slaughter of babies in this nation. He is perfectly fine with it in our state that he's never – he is pro-abortion. He is part of the Democratic Party. He's pro-abortion and everything else. He's pro-slaughter of babies, but he will stand there and he will make a big deal about protecting a dog. Now, I don't want to hurt any animal at all, but I'm telling you the truth here, brother. It makes me sick when you will slaughter a baby in America and you'll get some kind of an award as some kind of a good person, or a doctor will be honored because he's an abortion doctor or whatever, and the president will stand up and say, God bless Planned Parenthood, but the man that is out there and does something to a canine cop dog or something like that, they'll throw that guy in prison for it like he murdered a man.
Right. I think when you were with me, I told you the story of what happened to me as a teenager. Do you remember that story?
I do remember that. It's ridiculous.
I mean, just to kind of tell those out there listening, you know, when I was a teenager, we had a deputy sheriff that lived down the road from us, and that deputy sheriff had a narcotics dog live on his property, and we had down the road from where, well, I say we lived there, we had a barn there, we had horses, we had dogs. My dad was going to build a house there, but and I had to feed those animals every day. And in going to feed, this dog tried to attack me. It was attacking our animals. And then, to make a long story short, I ended up having to use the dog because I couldn't take care of my business. The dog was trying to attack me, trying to attack the animals. So, you know, I wound up spending a night in jail and being threatened by police officers of, you know, having capital murder charges against me because I had shot and killed a narcotics dog that didn't have any identification on it whatsoever, not one speck of identification. And, you know, and yet a teenage girl can go to an abortion clinic and have her child murdered without parental notification. It's just absolutely mindlessly insane.
Yep, satanic.
Amen.
It's absolutely, brother, it's absolutely satanic from the pits of hell. It is, and you know, there's too many pastors, there's too many preachers and people out there and Christians out there that are just soft-selling this thing of abortion, and they're not coming out straight with it and telling what it really is. Listen, it is demonic, it is devilish. And we need to call it for what it is. This death culture is nothing but satanic. It is all a plan of the devil. It is without natural affection. It is a sign of the end times that we live in. And the Bible is very clear about the children. It says, "Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters whom they sacrifice unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood."
Amen. Well, brother, you know, we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna talk about some other things coming up in a couple other segments. And you know, we've talked about abortion, and I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about abortion some. But you've got some other areas in which America shed innocent blood.
Amen, brother. I've got somebody that wants to call in, too, and share some things, too, as well about abortion before we get to that topic. If we have some time to do that, that'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have plenty of time. But I want to say one more thing before we get off of it. I don't think people understand how deep this death culture in America runs. I don't think people realize the history of the politics in America. And, you know, just a few tidbits. You know, George W. Bush, he's, you know, after we've had Barack Obama, George W. Bush is almost looked at as achieving sainthood or something, like some Catholic saint, compared to Barack Obama. But what people don't realize is that, you know, not much was made of it. He was a member of the Skull and Bone Society at Yale University, as was his dad. His dad, his name, his nickname was actually Magog, and his dad, Prescott Bush, was a member of the American Nazi Party and was a friend to his angel, Fritz Thiessen, who financed the Nazi war machine that murdered all those Jews. So, and now we hear rumblings that Jeb Bush, another member of the Bush family, is getting ready to run for office in 2016. So not only do we have it from these liberal Democrats who have no problem with murder, no problem with this genocide, and that's what I call it. I mean, you're killing 4,000 babies a day, that's genocide. And not only we have it on the liberal Democrat side, we have it on the so-called neoconservative Republican side, and that stuff runs deep, brother. Are you there?
I'm there, brother. I'm sorry. I was having a little bit of interference there. But, yes, it does run deep. It runs completely to the core of our nation. And that's what we don't realize, that it is completely to the core of our country. It is in a military-industrial complex. It is of the high leaders of the government all over. I mean, this is every facet of government, in every local, even, national, state, it's everywhere. It is everywhere.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, brother. Here in just a second, we're gonna take a break and we're gonna go to a little music and take a break. But we got a little different music on the program today for our breaks, and we're gonna play one. I was just saying earlier, you know, that God doesn't ever change, and if he feels one way about murder yesterday, he's gonna feel the same way about it today and tomorrow. And I normally play the Marksman Quartet, normally play some other bluegrass, but I'm gonna dig deep tonight. And we're gonna go to break here in just a second, and we're gonna play something from a long time ago. This you've heard of bluegrass gospel, brother, but have you ever heard of blues gospel? This is some deep stuff. So God don't ever change. Blind Willie Johnson, and we'll see you back here on Old Paths Broadcast. On the other side of the break.
As God, I don't ever change. He's God, always will be God. God in the middle of the ocean, God in the middle of the sea, by the help of the great creator, truly been a God to me. Hey, God, God don't never change. God always will be God. God in creation, God when Adam fell, way up in heaven, God way down in hell is gone. God don't never change. God always will be God. Spoke to the mountain, said how great I am. Want you to get up this morning, skip around like a lamb. Well, he's gone. God don't never change. God always will be God. God in the time of sickness, God in the doctor too, and the time of the influenza, he truly was a God to you. Well, he's God. God don't never change. He's God. Always will be God. God in the pulpit, God way down at the door. He's God in the amen. Oh no, God all over the floor. Well, he's God. God don't never change. Always will be God.
God don't ever change. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And murder's murder, and God feels the same way about it as he always has. Amen. Old Paths Broadcast, let me give you the call-in number tonight, 646-915-9266. One more time, 646-915-9266. Old Paths Broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague, Brother Jason Cooley, and brother, we've got one of our old call-in friends from a show we did way back on the Roman Catholic Church, Brother Tino Groppi. Good to have you with us tonight, brother.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good, brother. How are you?
That's good. I'm doing well. When I was listening to you guys talking about the abortion situation and how it's all satanic. I wish I could have called in a little quicker and got this comment in right when you guys are talking about that, because there is some element of abortion or any sin that's just sin, human sin. But boy, sometimes you look at the abortion situation and it just goes beyond human nature, human sin, and there has to be something demonic involved there. And I remember years ago when my ex-wife had a miscarriage, and she had several miscarriages. And I don't remember which one it was that she was in for at this time, but she had a miscarriage, and they put her in the same room. I mean, you would think who would have this lack of sense. They put her in the same room with a lady that just had an abortion, and she got to talking to the lady and started witnessing to her, and you know, even though she had just had a miscarriage, and then the lady told her that she came in and had an abortion, and my wife just about lost it. You did what? She had six miscarriages that I know about, and two of them were pretty sure were twins. So she had several miscarriages, and here this lady came in and killed her baby on purpose.
Wow.
And the hospital didn't have enough common sense to put them in separate rooms or something. They put them both together, and I was just thinking, there's got to be something demonic about that. Anybody would have common sense to know not to mix them two together. And it just got me, you know, the whole issue there. You find time and time again things that just go beyond normal human wickedness. It's just stuff that I think can only be explained, you know, demonically. It's beyond what a reasonable, even a sinner would do. And the Bible says the love of many will wax cold. And, man, do we ever see that? I can kind of understand, not that I agree, but I can understand the abortion industry when they're kind of insulated from the actual act themselves, trying to promote promoted as birth control and all that stuff, but I can't for the life of me picture how could a woman kill her own child. It just blows my mind that even if they didn't plan on it and didn't expect it, how could they go through with killing their own child? It just, to me, seems beyond normal human wickedness.
It sure does, brother. It's absolutely heinous. And, you know, think about what this man did, this man in the news here right now, and the acts that he performed, and mm-hmm. just his comments and the flippant way that he dealt with it. It
yeah.
has to be devil-led. It has to be, you know, devilish. I mean, you just don't, let alone do that, but then talk the way you do about these babies.
Right. Amen. Praise God. I mean, it's hideous. Amen. I remember I posted a picture up on Facebook. Of course, they took it down pretty quick after that. But there was a photograph of where they had taken a baby and inserted scissors into the back of its neck and snipped its spine. And you had the testimony of the girl, the teenage girl that had worked in the facility, and her talking about hearing the baby scream and hearing moans and all that. I mean, it's just heart-wrenching stuff. And how a man, you'd have to be demon possessed to be able to go through this and see this as a way of making your income and be able to go home to a family at night. You'd have to, there'd have to be something just totally sick and corrupt about you beyond just normal corruption to be able to stomach that.
Absolutely. I mean, it has to be of a satanic nature. When you think about this man, too, also what he had done, I mean, watching babies drowned in water that were born alive and then watching them drowned in water and not doing anything to stop or to help. How could, you know, it's, again, the reason it is because it's without natural affection. It is a sign of these end times. It is a sign of the rise of that spirit of Antichrist that is to come over all the world, that deception, the fact that there is no love, natural love. You see it everywhere. We're seeing this shedding of innocent blood because it's put in front of people's faces every single day on television, and this blood and this guts and this gore is shown to them. It's a death culture that is shown to them, and after a while, people get numb to that. They get numb to it. It doesn't mean as much anymore to shed blood. It's not that big of a deal any longer.
Right, and we've got television programs out there that are promoting it. You know, you've got Planned Parenthood. You've got just this culture that makes life cheap. And, you know, anywhere, I was a bumper sticker I saw on a car in front of me just the other day. It said, you know, anywhere God is not allowed, everything else is. And that's the culture. That's the culture. Everything, anything goes these days. You know, with the television shows, movies, the video games, the imagery. I mean, you think you compare today's world to the world that we all grew up in. I mean, you don't have to look far to see horrific, hellish images. In the days we grew up, I mean, you know, you had to go to a pretty horrible, nasty, R-rated movie to see something that vile. I mean, sure, it was out there, but you had to see it out. There was decency in the country, and you couldn't just find it. Now it's everywhere you turn.
Yes, it is. It is everywhere you turn. It's in everything. I mean, from the rise of all the media that we have now and the ability to be able to, you know, on a smartphone, watch entire television programs, watch movies, and, you know, watch everything. This death culture is right in your hand. I mean, for us to understand, I mean, you know, you've got drones that the President of the United States has sent over and, you know, murdered a wedding party of 200 people to try to capture one person. And, you know, there's babies and children and everything in there that have been murdered, sending our U.S. soldiers overseas to invade other nations, and we're going to kind of transition into that here soon as far as the war mentality, because it's all kind of connected. It's like Satan has attacked our country from within, and there it's everywhere. You know, it's every facet of our nation. Tino deals. I don't know if Tino's still there, but him and I have talked a lot extensively, and Brother Brandon, you and I have too as well, about this this war mentality that is among Christians, and unless it's presented to them so that they understand what's going on, I mean, they sound like the talking points of President Bush a few years back. Just stay the course, you know, continue on. And we got five or six wars going on. We're invading countries. We're stepping over boundaries. It's just this death mentality is everywhere.
Absolutely. And Brother Tim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, brother. Well, you can jump anytime you want to. But, you know, I wanted to say, you know, during the Iraq War, of course, that's still going on. We talk about it like it's over with. They're still killing people over there. But at the height of it, you know, shortly in the years after 9/11, you know, you'd hear Christians saying, you know, bless God, they ought to just drop a nuke over there and just turn that place into a, you know, a parking lot. And, I mean, to me, those people need to hear the gospel. I don't think they all need to just be vaporized. They need the gospel. And just to hear Chris talk like that, it just shocks me. There's no compassion. I understand 3,000 people died in the Twin Towers, but you and I know that you know what happened on that day wasn't straight up either.
When you talk about they need to hear the gospel, We're not, at least to any large degree, sending them the gospel. We're sending them bombs and bayonets and bullets. So God's sending the Muslims over here
mm-hmm.
so they can hear the gospel. And it's taking our nation down because we're trying to mix Islam and Christianity and Sharia and the Constitution, and it's not gonna work, but it's the only way they're going to hear the gospel. I can't imagine an Arab in the Middle East is going to want to listen to a Christian for 10 seconds the way things have gone the past 10 years.
Yeah,
amen. That's absolutely correct. And I'll give you another one here. I don't know how long we have before our break, if we got a few minutes, but two stories, and one I might get in here before our break, but I remember being in a big fundamental Baptist church a few years ago, and I remember a man, and he was sitting and talking to me. He's a deacon in the church, a very kind of a wealthier man, and you know, he looked over at me. He looked over at me and he said, you know, I would love to shoot me some Muslims, he said. I would love to shoot some Muslims. And I thought about that, and at the time I didn't really understand all of the issues that I know now. But to think that a 50-year-old man that has been saved, or 60-year-old man that has been saved for many years of his life, now, that same man went to college where there's a Baptist preacher out there that calls himself a missionary to Israel, and he went over to Israel, and he said that he signed some missiles, and he signed the church's name to that missile, and he said, this missile is from such and such Baptist church.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Now, do you understand what we have done here? There's a pastor of a church that is signing a missile to go over and murder people, and we don't have a problem with a death mentality?
Brother, when it's invaded the church that deep, God help us. God help us.
Now this,
I mean, go ahead.
This man has influence, brother, over thousands of missionaries and thousands and thousands of people across the country. If I said his name right now, you would just be shocked, probably. Well, maybe you wouldn't be. I don't know. But I mean, you know me. I don't pull any punches. His name is Jim Vineyard. But I heard him say this.
Color me surprised.
Yeah, exactly. That's the mentality. I don't hold back on names. If you get mad at me, that's fine. You get right with God. You're the one that said you signed a missile and said, hey, Hamas, this one's for you from Windsor Hills Baptist Church. That's what was said.
Wow.
you know, what some of that stems from, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but because I'm all for being a blessing to Israel and those things in the Bible, but some people take that to the level of idolatry,
mm-hmm.
to where they will steal to bless Israel, they will covet other people's paychecks to bless Israel, they will send things to Israel that Israel doesn't want under the guise of blessing Israel, and they've made it an idol that they want to bless Israel, and that means kill all them Arabs, send them all to hell. And that's not what God wants at all. I mean, they're taking one verse in the Bible and stretching it so far out of proportion and making an idol out of the nation of Israel.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jesus is going to be the one that's going to judge the nations. It's not going to be us. It's not going to be us.
Well, but, listen, brother, here's the other thing about that is that when you remember when Jesus was coming out of, I think it was Samaria or one of those places over there, and he was walking out of there, and the people did not receive him, really. They didn't bless him. They didn't receive him. And his two disciples looked over at him and said, "Lord, shall we not now call down fire from heaven and consume these people?" And Jesus rebuked them sharply. He turned to them, he rebuked them sharply, and he said, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of."
Mm.
He said that Christ came to give life. He didn't come to kill and destroy.
That's right. That's right. And we're so far from what we ought to be in America. We're so far from this nation that was fought for to be a incubation, a cradle for the gospel to be sent out. It is so far. And we've gone so far so fast. And Brother Tino was talking about that Sharia law and how they're trying to have that in America. And, you know, I've heard it said that America is roughly 20 years behind England. And I can remember, you know, it seems like 15, 20 years ago, reading and hearing about Christians who were being persecuted by Muslims when they tried to share their faith. And I fear that that's right where we're headed. And it's going to be because of our own actions, like Brother Tino said.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. And you know, as we look at, here's another, talking about the death culture, how about these Benghazi hearings right now? You've got a congressman that stands up and he basically just says, well, you know, death happens. People die. Well, how come that wasn't the same response to when some possessed lunatic goes in and shoots some people, and a few people die? That I'm not minimizing their lives, but a few people die, but that's just no big deal because it doesn't fit their agenda. But this guy, this congressman, stands up and he says, "Well, you know, people die. That happens. People die."
Well, I've been in meetings for the last few days, and I'm totally out of the loop. Which congressman was that?
Elijah Cummings. He said, and I quote, he said, "Death is a part of life."
Okay.
That's what he said. He said, so when these guys are, when naturally there's some people up there that are very upset about those, and America wants to know what's going on with that, and are asking questions about that, he looks and he says, "Death is a part of life."
Yeah,
his response to it. So let's not make a big deal about it. Death is a part of life. Do you realize that those men were raped and they were murdered?
Hmm. God. That's, I mean, what can you say? It's a sick mess.
It is, but it's part of this death culture, and it's only going to get worse until Christians, who are the responsible ones, Brother Tino, for not paying attention to what's going on and standing up for life and saying, listen, we've got to end these wars. We had our chance with Ron Paul, and we blew it. America blew it. They just, the religious right got in there, and I mean, they blew it. We just blew it, and I believe that was our last chance.
Well, I'm trying to find some stuff on Benghazi, but that's like I said, I've been out of the loop the last few days. I've just totally been out of the loop. But it's evidently getting pretty hot, is it not?
It is. It's heating up, and they're asking more questions. They want some answers. You've got Hillary Clinton lying about it. She pretty much allegedly lied about it. It's pretty clear she lied about it. The memo that they put out that it was because of a Facebook video or something, a YouTube video or something like that, you know, all that's being proved to be a lie. We have to understand something. This president doesn't care about life. And let's be honest, most of our congressmen don't either. This is all just to see if one side, if the right side of the paradigm can use this against the left side of the paradigm to get somebody in trouble. Because if any of them cared about life, they'd be ending what's going on right now and all this death, the death mentality and the death that tolls that are rising here in America.
Well, this experiment, this great experiment that is America, it's lasted for a great number of years, but I'm afraid it's coming to a close. And there's only one reason for that. It's because we turned our back on God. And
amen.
You know, I mean, it's just not gonna survive. You know, if God's hand's not on it, it's not gonna prosper. And you're right. God has he's wrote Ichabod over the halls of Congress. He's wrote Ichabod over the door of the White House and over the Senate, Supreme Court. And there's not anything. It's not anything that politics or politicians can do. There's not a thing that can be fixed that way. The only and I know we sound like we're just bringing doom and gloom, and I'm sure there are some people out there if they could. Golly, preachers, can't you talk about anything good? You know, but the truth of it is, you know, it's. I mean, the pastor's job is third negative, and. And that's the problem. Nobody wants to warn. Nobody wants to rebuke. Nobody wants to reprove. Nobody wants to bring up the obvious. We just keep singing Amazing Grace and ignoring what's going on around us, and it's not going to go away.
No, you're right, brother. This until we see the Christians repent, until they see the plight that's there. We'll not see any blessings from God when it comes to these things, but cursings are on the way.
Amen. Brother Tino, are you going to stick around for another segment with us?
Oh, I don't know. I might hang up. I'm starting to, I've had a cold the last day or two, so I might just listen on the computer.
All right, brother. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Okay, thanks.
Amen, brother. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and as we go to break, now, this one's a little bit familiar to everybody. It's been out there in every commercial that you can think of. But I tell you, you ought to listen to the message. And whether you agree with the man or not, listen to the message. It's a little old song called God's Gonna Cut You Down. Brother, this is Johnny Cash. And this is the Old Paths Broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague, Brother Jason Cooley. We'll be right back after the break.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. sooner or later gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
We're telling them that God's going to cut them down. That's what we're doing here on the Old Path broadcast tonight. And eventually, I mean, he's right. You know, you can say what you want to about Johnny Cash. You can criticize whether or not, you can say whether or not he was a believer. But you know what I've learned over the years is that well, our opinion of the songwriter sometimes doesn't matter. It's the message. And I'll tell you, you can run on for a long time. God's a merciful God. God's a long-suffering God, and God has certainly proven that with America, because with all the filth and the vileness, with all the sodomite perversion, with all of the filth, with all of the murder, with all of just the absolute wretchedness, God has been so good and so lenient to America because there has been a core group of believers in America who have stuck by the word of God, and God has spared this country. But I'm telling you, we are at the point now to where this falling away is taking place so rapidly that the chickens have come home to roost, and God is going to cut the legs out from underneath this great country. This once great nation is going to fall because of her own actions. Brother Cooley?
Yes, brother. And I, everything you said, I agree with. This is what's coming. And you know, I want to transition from abortion so we don't think we're just one, you know, we're just preaching on one specific thing. But to add, to understand, let's expound on this thing of this death and this shedding of innocent blood. I'll take you to a scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1 through 6. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal." Notice that. His zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Hey, we'll keep you safe, and we have to do some things here. Does this sound like America here? We got to do some things to keep you safe. But we're not, so in our zeal for safety, in our zeal to want to punish 9/11, which by the way wasn't Iraq, we're gonna murder these people. We're gonna kill these people. We're gonna war with these people. And after all, you hear so many people say today, "Oh, preacher, it's just war." You gotta understand, preacher, it's just war. Yeah, that's what God was saying here to Saul or to David too. It was just war. But you know what? God said, "I'm gonna punish you for this war of Saul, and I'm gonna punish the land." We see here, and the children of Israel had sworn to them they would not. And Saul sought to slay them in the zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised it against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up upon unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." Now listen, folks, this reminds me of this desire to eradicate Muslims across the world here, that that our nation is involved with right now. And I believe Muslims are, many of them are probably devil possessed. I believe that they worship a false god. They're
Amen.
Led by the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, just like Catholics are, just like lost Baptists are, just like other lost people are. That's
right.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So I understand that and I believe it. But Saul had a zeal here, and God said that the land was cursed. Year after year, there was a famine in the land, and God said it was because of the bloody house of Saul, because he went out and he murdered these people. He killed these people in his zeal, and his zeal for the children of Israel, his zeal for what's – that's what he did to them. He killed them. He shed the innocent blood. There was no reason to shed their blood. And just like as we look at things today, Brother Brandon, there's no reason to be shedding blood all over the world like that. There's no reason at all for it.
No, no. There's that. It just simply reminds me of our Homeland Security, Office of Homeland Security, which was created after 9/11, and which mirrors what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. You know, he firebombed the Reichstag building. He brought about what's called fatherland security, very much like homeland security. And little by little, people started losing freedoms. They were taken from them. They gave up their liberty for freedom. And he began to invade other countries. And that is exactly the pattern that we're seeing. We saw George W., and now we're seeing Barack Obama followed. All the criticism, and I just want to say this, all the criticism that was poured out upon George W. Bush, you never hear a word of it from those people who criticized George W. Bush. You never hear a word of it toward Barack Obama, and he has continued on with the very same plan. There is no difference between George W. Bush and Barack Obama except for a skin coloration. They are following the very same agenda, and they are driven, like you said, by demonic forces. I do believe with all my heart they are driven, and it makes no difference. It makes no difference whether it's a Muslim face or it's, whatever face you want to put on it. They are driven by the same source, and that same source wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm telling you, folks, there are people out there, you need to wake up and you need to think. You need to start using your brain, and you need to start researching and digging and sitting there on that computer and researching late at night and really beginning to understand where this morality in America, where it began to slide, and how this evil corruption began to take root in America. You need to look at the roots of this, because it mirrors. I heard somebody say the other day, brother, that Hitler would have been very proud of Barack Obama and George W. Bush and this last few presidents. He would have been so tremendously proud, because they've done what he could not do, and they have implemented their plan so well. And what people need to understand, again, as I mentioned earlier, this stuff all goes back to the same source. It all goes back. Adolf Hitler was a member of a thing called the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E, the Thule Society. And you can look that up online and research it. But the Skull and Bones group at Yale University, that our current Secretary of State, John Kerry, was a member of, that our former president, George W. Bush, was a member of, that George H.W. Bush was a member of, that group is an offshoot of the Thule Society. And it all goes back to something called theosophy, a false religion, which was a wacky as all get out death culture religion that comes from a teacher named Helena Blavatsky out of Russia. And this whole idea of euthanasia, abortion, race cleansing, all of this evil, it all goes back to that place. And I'm sure that came from some other some other religion somewhere else, but there is a trail. And if you begin to look and you see it, you can see how all of these leaders in government are deceived, and they're following a blueprint that was laid down by somebody much more powerful than they. And folks, and I understand. I understand if there are ladies out there listening to this. You're like many, if you're anything like my wife, like many of the ladies in our churches, they don't want to hear this stuff because it overwhelms them. But I'm saying to you, men out there, be men. Take responsibility and learn, and don't just stick your head in the sand and wait for Jesus to come back. You need to be able to identify the evil so that you know what you're to stand against.
Amen, brother. The thing is that what a lot of people don't know about the staff that Adolf Hitler had in Germany, they actually were hired by NASA. Hired them. They created NASA. They created a lot of different things over here. They were heads of scientific fields and everything over here in America. After that war, they brought them over here and they employed them. And Homeland Security, like you said, is nothing more than a design from that. But Hitler had a death mentality because he was a satanic led man, Lenin Blavatsky, like you said. All of those things are true, and it's spread over into America. It's that same spirit. It's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now in America, you know, we've got FEMA camps, we've got fusion centers, we've got fields full of black coffins. There are guillotines and warehouses all around this country. You got your Homeland Security buying up billions of rounds of ammo. Folks, you need to wake up. They're getting ready for something. This death culture is there.
Absolutely, brother. It's there, and it's in our society. It's so deep into our society right now, and you can tell that all of this is. Like I preached a message last night about you can't fight the New World Order without Christ. You mm-hmm. must have Christ, and you must have the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got everybody out there trying to think that they're going to fight. They're exposing the New World Order, and they're exposing. That's wonderful, but the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is
That's
repentance
right.
toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is not the United States Constitution. The answer, contrary to what a radio talk show host says, the answer to 1984 is not 1776. The answer is Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen. You're absolutely right, brother. He's the only way you're ever going to get out of this world alive.
Amen, brother. With the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, sealed under the day of redemption, and understanding mm-hmm. that it's important. Americans have been hypnotized so much today. They're so hypnotized by Hollywood. That's why I am devoted to preaching a series on Hollywood against the satanic roots and fruits of Hollywood, and expose that for what it is, because this death mentality, see, Hollywood preaches a message. It's a church. And it's the church of Satan, and it preaches a message to the world, and it preaches a message to Christians. And as much influence as you allow Hollywood to have on you, that's how much it's going to preach to you. And you know what? We got preachers out there that are preaching their guts out on Sunday morning, but they may not be preaching out about Hollywood like they should, but they've got their church members that 6 days a week are filling their heads with Hollywood, filling their heads with the death mentality, filling their heads. So you know what? Another war is no big deal. Another war isn't that big of a deal. Oh, the troops is what you hear. Got to support them. Got to keep the course the same
mm-hmm.
way. And it's hurting us. It's killing our nation.
Amen. I mean, you know, brother, it pains me to think of. I mean, when I hear somebody talking about, you know, I'm going to join the military, and I think to myself, why would you join the military? Why would you want to be a part of just a killing machine, a contract killer? Because that's all it's become. The nobility of a war, I mean, the idea of a war being noble anymore, it has gone out the window. I mean, we're not
We're not out. I mean, you know, people make that statement, you know, these men and women around the world so we can sleep free tonight. I mean, let's be honest. If we were living back, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you know, we might be able to accept that statement. But these days, you know, they're around the world so that contractors can, you know, can run a pipeline across a country that was full of rebels. Or they're over there so that they can install some puppet dictator, I mean, some puppet diplomat to run a country so they can control the region and make money off the drug trade.
Amen, brother. You're absolutely right. And it's this, I've told people before, and I tell our church all the time, I am not about to allow my children to enlist in the military to be some monopoly piece in a game for the world bankers to play with and for people to make money while my children die over there in the sand somewhere. It's not happening. I'm not giving my children over. I'm not raising them for these years of their life to hand them over to military to go fight in some foreign war to mess their brains up by destroying, by murdering the murder and death culture that's a part of where we're at right now.
And then come home to have their government tell them that they're not fit to have the Second Amendment right to own a weapon to protect themselves because they're unstable now.
Right, after they had the psychotropics that were given to them, after they've had all the things done to them, the medication being drugged and just the scenes that they have, the horror that they've had, the murdering that they've done, and come back and try to appease a conscience like that, without Christ, it'll never happen. They won't ever get that forgiveness that they need, and many of them end up in suicide because of it.
Right, I can't tell you how many times I've run across some veteran of Iraq while I've been out trying to knock doors, and you would not believe, I mean, I'm sure you would because you probably had it happen to you, but I could not believe the hostility that I got in trying to talk to him. You know, I had one guy tell me, God doesn't want me, he doesn't want anything to do with me after what I've done.
Right, it's because they've been so... Brother, a man is not supposed to see those things on a continual basis like that. You know, if there's a just war out there, you know, for defense of the nation, hey, listen, I've had people say, oh, you must be passive. No, I'm not passive. If you come to our nation and you tried to take it over, if you tried to invade my neighborhood, invade my home, you would find out real quick how passive I am not. And I'll defend
Amen.
Myself with everything in me, and I'll defend my family with everything that
Absolutely.
I have, that with my ability that I can, that God will give me. But I will not go over and play a game with people overseas and invade countries and topple and watch our presidents and the New World Order and all these others topple dictators, pull them out. It's all a part of a death game to them. They don't care about life. Your president doesn't care about life. He's a lying devil. And I would tell him that to his face if I had the opportunity.
Amen. And thank God you still have a right to say it. Amen.
So far anyway, brother.
Amen. Praise God. But you're right. And brother, I've seen the photographs. I've seen the photographs of the children who have been severely burned as a result of these drone attacks. I'm talking about little children. And I cannot imagine, brother, it just escapes me to imagine one of my children being horrifically burned because of a drone attack. And, you know, it's no wonder that the world hates America. It's no wonder. Ron Paul had it right, you know. I mean, regardless of how people feel about Ron Paul, maybe you love him, maybe you hate him, but he had it right. There's no wonder why they want to destroy our country, because if you know, the things that our country has done to them.
That's right, brother. I remember Ron Paul on the he was standing before Congress and giving a speech, and he got laughed to scorn because he said, "Well, I believe what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers." And I'll tell you what, they laughed that guy to scorn out of there because he said that.
Well, I'm not surprised. So not surprised. I mean, go ahead.
Because they love death. It is a death culture that's come. It's a military-industrial complex, and where everything's about that, everything's surrounded by that. Your president's admitted to it. Former presidents admitted to it. Former presidents lost their lives because they wanted to expose it. But, you know, you're just a bunch of conspiracy kooks, and you just believe. No, I happen to believe in that there is a mystery of iniquity that doth already work. I happen to believe that the New World Order is satanically led, and all these people come together under the guise of Satan and his power. And we're steamrolling through to that time when that Antichrist will appear on this earth, and this earth will be consumed with this death mentality completely. Then,
absolutely. I mean, you're right. You're talking about the military industrial complex, and I watched a speech that was given. It was actually the exit speech of Dwight D. Eisenhower. And in that speech, I mean, so maybe people don't really like John F. Kennedy. Yes, he warned against secret societies. He warned against all these things. But what about Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of the greatest presidents? He was a military leader himself, and he warned as he was leaving office about the military-industrial complex that would someday consume this nation. He tried to tell us, but nobody listened. And 50 years later, we're reaping the reward of it.
That's right, brother. He did warn about it. You can watch his video on YouTube and YouTube at some time and just listen to what he says about this military-industrial complex and that it would lead to nothing but death. Why? Well, because death makes money. That's why. This war makes somebody money. And these wars like King Saul had against these people, that God punished him for that war. He punished the land, actually, of Israel. Because of that war, there was a famine in the land. And we're just the same. We're no better. We're dealing with the same thing. These foreign wars and the shedding of innocent blood that takes place, that has taken place and will continue to take place until God's people stand up and start to preach against it.
Amen. And, you know, when you talk about the military-industrial complex, and you talk about this death culture, I mean, we've already kicked over Pandora's box. I mean, it's all out the floor now, so let's just go ahead and talk about it. What about these chemtrails, brother, that they're spraying all over our country? And go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, brother, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you. You just look at that. You've got chemtrails. You've got soft killing through food, through fluoride, through other things. What is this? It's a death culture, like you're saying. It's a death mentality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, anytime anybody comes up with anything that may cure cancer, they suddenly disappear. They die suddenly. Why is that? Because there's too much money to be made off the suffering and death of others.
Absolutely. And that's the direction of our nation. I mean, when that health care bill was signed, you make no mistake about it, the death panels, I just seen an article on Drudge Report today of what John Boehner and McConnell said. They said, we are not going to appoint people to death panels. We're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen. Praise God for that. But, you know, there's a video out, and I cannot remember the name of the video, but there is a video out, and there is a young lady who I posted it on Facebook some time back, a young lady who was speaking at a Liberty concert, and she was a former Air Force engineer. She worked on a Air Force base in Georgia, Warner Robins Air Force Base, I believe it is, and she was an engineer there for basically any kind of chemical that was used on the base. She knew about it. She studied the impact on the human body. She said whether you were bringing in something radioactive or you were using some chemical degreaser, a solvent or something, she said, it went across my desk. And she said when she began seeing things come across her desk, things like aluminum oxide, and I'm trying to think of the other chemicals that she talked about. And I wish I had it right in front of me. But are you familiar with the different chemicals that they're spraying?
I'm not, brother. I really have not studied that a lot.
Well, I do know that aluminum oxide is one of them, and there are two other. And I urge people to get online. And, you know, I've talked to so many pilots and talked, and even one day when they were spraying that stuff over the top of our house, I got out there with a camera, and I took pictures of them crisscrossing the sky. And I got in the car, and I drove to our local airport, and I talked to the director of the airport, and I showed him the pictures, and I asked him, what is this? Oh, those are just contrails. That's just condensation coming out of the back of airplanes. I said, you can't see where the sun's coming through it. It's falling out of the sky, and it's turning pink. I said, contrails don't do that. They don't turn pink. They don't fall on you, and you feel it fall on you, and it burn. What this stuff is burning my skin. I was out working the yard that day. And not only that, but they spread and the entire sky becomes a hazy white mess. A clear blue sky becomes a hazy white mess. And it's also, I mean, there's a great documentary out on it called What in the World Are They Spraying? And I'm going somewhere with this. But anyway, this young lady, she said, you know, as these chemicals were coming in, she said, you know, she had these receiving papers on them, but they had no company associated with them. She said, so she began to do tests on her own out of curiosity. And she began to take tests from local water sources. She began to do swab tests. And she said what she found, the levels that she found, she said were astronomical and off the chart. She began to see all kinds of things happening in the people's lives there on the base, sores and different things. Brother, that's going on all over this country. All you got to do is type in chemtrail, C-H-E-M-T-R-A-I-L. Type in chemtrail on YouTube, and you can look at different locations all over this country where people are documenting this stuff, and they are spraying our nation in a crisscross grid with some kind of chemical. And like I said, the most popular one is aluminum oxide, and all this does is create disease in people. We're being sprayed like roaches in this death culture as they're murdering us. Because, I mean, you take a look at the Georgia Guidestones, and they recommend reducing the population. I remember reading where some scientist was saying, you know, if reincarnation's true, I want to come back as an Ebola virus. Or whatever, Ebola, whatever. He said, I want to come back and kill a bunch of people. And, you know, they want to reduce the population to half a million people.
Well, I mean, you listen to Ted Turner, you listen to all of those proponents of the New World Order, and they do want population reduction. That is Satan's plan. That death is Satan's plan, and this New World Order, that is the plan, is depopulate the earth. You've heard Bill Gates has said things like that before. Bill Gates, I've watched a video on YouTube, anybody can go to it and see it, and Bill Gates talks about how he would like to, we can't talk about the death panel, though. That's something we can't talk about. It's just not popular. And acting like, well, your life is flippant. Well, you first, Bill, you go ahead and let yourself go then if you want to. You and Ted Turner and all you guys, if you want to go, you go ahead and do it then. But why do you want everybody else to do it? Because you're elitist and you're demonic and you think that you can murder and death and kill whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's absolutely right. And, as I mentioned earlier, there's documented proof that there are thousands and thousands of guillotines being stored in America. And I'll leave you with this thought. We're going to go to break. But why guillotines? There's a reason for that. And that is when they start killing us off, a guillotine doesn't destroy the organs. And with a head being severed like that, it sure would be easy to harvest all those organs for all those elitists to pick and choose from so they can live forever, which is what they believe. And, folks, it's a sick, sick world we live in. But thank God we have a Savior. Thank God he's our lifeboat. Amen. He's coming. He's coming again. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved today, if there were ever, you know, an invitation, save yourself from this untoward generation. And he's the only way out. Repentance and faith in our repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, as brother said a while ago, he's the only way. He has shed his blood on Calvary. He has been buried and he rose from the grave. He is alive forevermore. And he paid the price for your sins and mine. And the only way that you can escape the pits of hell, the lake of fire, is through him and his precious shed blood. Brother, we need to take a break, and we'll come back here on the other side of the break, and we'll talk some more about this shedding of innocent blood, the curse on America. And the call-in number again, 646-915-9266, the Old Paths Broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague, Brother Jason Cooley, and we're going to go to break with Sun House, Old Blue Man. Who's that right? John the Revelator.
Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Well, who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name, and he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know, Christ had 12 apostles, and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha was down to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Wrote your book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seventh seal.
Amen. Sun House, John the Revelator. Amen. I'm gonna tell you, everything the book said is gonna come true too. And we're living right upon the edge of those days. And we are living in the great falling away, when people they don't have natural affection. And we're seeing this nation turn just like all other nations eventually do. Any nation that was built with democracy, that had freedom to choose, has ultimately chosen the wrong way. And every nation that's ever been built on you know, anything right is eventually corrupted because man's corrupted. And, brother, it's just the way it is.
Amen, brother. It's the times that we live in today. And, I I'm thinking about another thing that Jesus had talked about, that the Bible had talked about, even in the Old Testament, when God laid the order down of capital punishment. He said, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And I remember some of the things that happened in Israel later on after obviously way after this, when the Levitical law came in and everything else came in Israel. Joab shed the innocent blood, and David instructed Solomon to not allow his hoary head to go down in the grave in peace, but to shed his blood for the cold-blooded murder of those honorable men that he had destroyed. I remember that, I also remember the Bible says, "If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three more cities for thee, besides these three." So God was saying, you know, if you don't shed innocent blood, and somebody does die, then I'll present some cities of refuge. If a man was, you know, had an axe or something, and the head fell off, and it hit somebody, and he died, then until that avenger of his blood, until his brethren was calmed down, you know, and got to think about things rationally, I would give you a city of refuge to go to. Mm-hmm. That innocent blood, he said, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. The whole chapter there deals with that in Deuteronomy chapter 19, that if a man accidentally killed somebody, hey, listen, God said, hey, that was an accident, I understand that. But he said if a man does murder someone, if he does commit murder, he says this in Deuteronomy 19:13, "Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee." Your eye wasn't to pity him. What do we hear today? Oh, well, this man's insane, so he can't be charged because he's insane, so we can't give him the death penalty. Well, listen, I said this the other day to somebody. Let's understand something. If a man admits that he cold-bloodedly murdered somebody, I understand he's insane, but he could still hang from a tree insane. He could still be lethally injected insane. He could still stand in front of a firing squad insane. He could still die insane. There's nothing in the Bible that says that he can't die insane. If he can live insane, he can die insane. That's for sure. And if you shed innocent blood, your blood should be shed like that. If you cold-bloodedly murder somebody like that, premeditated. I'm reminded of a lady that just a funeral that I just preached, of a young girl that was in our church, and she was 19 years old, and her boyfriend premeditated, murdered her, and he planned it. He wrote notes about it, and he murdered that poor child. Mm. And in cold blood, in the most vicious way possible. And somebody said, well, maybe he'll apply for the insanity or something like that. I was like, I agree. I think you are insane, but I don't call it insanity. I call it devil possessed. And I mm-hmm. agree, but you know what? You can still die devil possessed too for what you've done.
Absolutely. And you'll go to the place where you'll be tormented with him forever and ever.
That's right, but we have a problem in this country right now. The eye is pitying. You know, the eye is pitying and saying, no, we can't do this, and God is judging us for it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says, and all the elders of the city that are next unto the slain man, if you found a body, brother, if a body was found somewhere, it said, and no one knew about it, said all the elders of that city that are next unto that slain man that they find shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Brother, life is precious to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, and it's not cheap. Absolutely. And but that's the way it's become in America. Again, we've just, you know, you think about it. Just looking back at my own childhood, wonder how many people we literally, and I'm not talking about cowboys and Indians, Saturday morning, you know, seeing somebody, you know, when somebody grabbed their chest and fall over and no blood. I'm talking about comparing what you, I mean, and I know you're younger than I, but what you and I saw growing up on television compared to what our children witness. And I know you protect your children, and I protect my children. But still, even just living in this world, they're exposed to it. But you take the average child, let's just say in a moderate Baptist church. We'll just try to be generic. Say they're growing up in some, and they're not liberal, but then again, they're just kind of lukewarm, you know, not really aggressive in evangelism, you know, not really aggressive on the standards, but not yet gone down the drain either. And you take a child in that home, a family that's faithful to attend that church, how much murder do they witness? How much, sexual violence do they witness? How much pornography will they come across? How much demonic imagery, satanic imagery, satanically influenced music will they be exposed to? Idolatry. It's just staggering by comparison. And I know, brother, I know the struggle that I went through trying to resist this old world. And I know you could testify to the very same thing, because I know your testimony and I know the struggle that you went through. And the world that you grew up in, the world that I grew up in, was much, much more harmless than the world that they're growing up in today. And it is just an enormous emphasis on vileness, perversion, and death. And yet,
amen, brother.
And yet the preaching today is more soft-soaped, more psychological, soft-pedaled, soft-served, prophesying to us smooth things. Brother, it's worse now than it's ever been. I can remember back in the day, the old wind-sucking, sweat-wiping, eyeballs bugged out, blood vessel about to burst in the forehead. I mean, old red-faced cotton top preachers growling and barking from the pulpit. I mean, I remember all that. In the midst of all that, and I still struggled growing up. So, my soul, I'm really just overwhelmed trying to consider it all.
Amen, brother. We've got to protect our families from this death culture and explain to them. I think about when we find sin in our lives, brother, when we find sin or we find something that that God doesn't want in our lives, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 11. When they were reproved, the Corinthians, Paul wrote a scathing letter to them in 1 Corinthians. And I mean, that letter was just scathing. He called out every heresy, every false doctrine. He called out every false practice. I mean, brother, he left no stone unturned. I mean, they had to feel like meatloaf when he was done with them. Just a big old piece of ground-up meatloaf, because, I mean, he really put them through it. But he said this. He said, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge."
Mm-hmm.
We need to have revenge in a godly sort of way against sin. That means when we find it in our own lives, or we root it out and we fight it, we have a revenge against it, and we clear ourselves of the matter, and we are approved by the matter. We have a vehement desire to follow God and a zeal and a revenge against things that are not approved of by God. Not that we take it out on other people or anything like that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we use that energy, we use that spirituality to rid our lives of iniquity and wickedness, because that's the only answer in this world that we live in, is to cling to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hour is getting dark, brother. It's
yes, sir.
Getting dark. And this death mentality has completely consumed our nation. Brother, it's not enough that we have a military-industrial complex. It's not enough that we have abortion. We even go after the children at a very young age, and everything is vampires and blood and murder and guts and death, and it's consuming our nation from the cradle to the grave.
Right. And you know, I really didn't think we would go in this direction tonight, but let's consider Walt Disney for just a minute. You talk about a death culture. I mean, Walt, the Disney World and all of the Disney movies, there is an emphasis on death. Are you there, brother?
Yep, sorry, I had to sneeze a little bit there, brother. I apologize. Yes, there is a death culture there, and it starts at a young age in Disney. You know, I went through, even today, I just was so convicted of the Lord, and I haven't watched a movie in years, but in a long time, besides like a Courageous or a Fireproof or something on that order, you know, Bible.
Right.
I do a lot of studying and reading and things like that, but it's been a while since I've even sat down and watched something. But, you know, I had some things in my house, and I just rid my house of Hollywood, brother. I took it all, and I threw it in a big old bag, and I told my children, I sat down with them, and I said, or I stood there with my son, and who's old enough to understand. I said, son, we're going to take all this stuff out, and we're going to burn it. And he goes, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And because he's getting biblical training, and he understands that if it dishonors God, we don't need it in our lives. If it preaches a message opposite of the Scriptures, we should not have it in our lives. If it's preaching this death mentality, this death culture, this culture of evil, in the days of Noah, the Bible talks about the violence that filled the earth. And I preach a series on the days of Noah, a few sermons on the days of Noah and what went on. And violence had filled the earth. And Jesus said when he would return that it would be the same as the days of Noah. There would be violence that filled the earth. And that's what we're facing now, brother. We see it everywhere. It's just our children are enamored with violence. Our televisions, every show on television, death mentality, CSI, NCSI, whatever all these other, I don't know, the Law and Order, five different Law and Orders. What's it about? Oh, let's get into the mind of a psychopath, demon-possessed moron, and let's see how he killed somebody. Let's look at the bodies. Let's examine the bodies. Let's be consumed with this death mentality, and then we wonder why our children are given over to this. We have copycat killers out there. We have all these things because it's glorified in the media. They're looked at as heroes.
Absolutely. It ought to be, we ought to be calling out, and we are. We're calling out dads tonight. I want to say tonight to any dad who's listening to this program, or any who will listen to it in the future, listen to it archived, stand up and be accountable for the family that God has blessed you with, because they are not yours. They are on loan to you, Dad, from God. And it is up to you to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is up to you to point them to Calvary. It is up to you to teach them God's truth. It is up to you to be a shelter and a shield from the filth of the world. And it is not for you to sit down and let the TV babysit them. It is not for you to let them run free to do as they please in this old world. It is not a safe place. It is a minefield. And what you don't realize, or you haven't realized, is that you more than likely, as many have had happen to them, have been absolutely given a lobotomy by the mainstream media. And you know, folks are drinking the Kool-Aid, brother. They have fallen into this mentality of you know, I dare not speak up, I dare not say anything because I will be ostracized by my, you know, my neighborhood and my community and my church, and they'll let their children go right into hell worrying about what everybody's going to think. And in a sense, spiritually, brother, they by default they're doing the very same thing that those Israelites did when they took their children and they laid them right up into the hands of Molech.
That's right, bro. That's exactly what's going on. And we're all guilty of it, at different phases of our lives as far as, when the Lord, one important principle I think people should understand is that once God reveals something unto you and he gives light unto you and he speaks to you, listen to him, obey the light that you've been given and follow the light that you've been given, because you know what? God will show you more. He'll give more light. He'll give more understanding. He'll teach you more of his word if you'll just get into it. But you know what? Hollywood has basically, let me go and say this the truth. We have been entertained by demons. We've been entertained by devils. These people are devil possessed. They admit it. I'm going to bring that information out soon. And, I'm going to bring that out in some sermons soon, and just to show the proof of that, that these people openly admit that they're satanic, that they have devils inside of them. So you and I, in essence, have been entertained by devils, and that just kills me. I mean, when I think about that, it's just awful.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got these. I mean, I know you don't keep up with the popular culture, probably, but I mean, just here recently, Beyoncé Knowles, who's married to rapper Jay-Z, who is obsessed with New World Order culture. She came out, I think it was on one of the talk shows, I can't remember whether it was Tyra or Oprah or one of those talk shows, and she came out and talked about how she gets possessed by this spirit, and it overtakes her, and she becomes this alter ego called Sasha Force. And it allows, and you know, that was what happened at the Super Bowl. She was at the Super Bowl, and it just causes her to become this alter ego. That's what our young, that's what young people in this nation, that's who they look up to. And she's obsessed with the death culture. Her husband's obsessed with the death culture. It was there when you and I were growing up, and the musicians, I mean, it was all about death, and it's still all about death. They sing about death. They wear imagery of death. It is all around us. And God help us if we don't point people to the life. Christ, he said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And, There was a message that was preached here recently, and it was preached by Brother Daryl Weaver, and in that message he was talking about how light and dark are not to mix, and light and dark can't mix. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're a child of God, you have no business playing with darkness. You have no business dabbling with the death culture of this world. And believer, stay away from it. Steer clear of it. Because, it hit me as he was preaching that message, light mixing with darkness. And you know this, brother, if you've been up early or if you've been driving late, the one time a day when light tries to mix with darkness is what we call twilight. And that is the number one time a day when accidents occur. That is the number one time a day when people are out hunting that they end up shooting somebody. Because it's hard to see what's what. It's hard. Confusion happens when dark and light try to mix together, and that's what's happening today in our churches, because light is trying to mix with darkness, and what comes across is nothing but confusion, and people get hurt, people get destroyed in the process, and I'm afraid that our families, our lives, our marriages are going to be destroyed because. Those who are the people of the light, those who are of the Lord Jesus Christ, have become so worldly that they're trying to mix with darkness.
Oh, that's right, brother. It's the times we live in. You think about this that series Twilight.
Exactly.
The vampires. What is Twilight? It's a mixture of that light and dark. It's that hybrid worship. It's a hybrid mixing of the two, of dark and light together, and it's permeated our society. This is what the children of America have feasted on. This is what they have learned. This is what they've been taught. And that's the direction that they're in. Oh, you can mix a little bit of Jesus in with a little bit of darkness, and you got people that go out and, brother, they live like the absolute devil. And they are into all these devilish things, and they talk about spiritualness, and it's sad because They have no light in them, and they're fooling themselves, many of them. Some are saved, and some are need to call to repentance, but others are lost and don't even know it.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. We got about 4.5 minutes left, brother. If you've got anything important that you want to lay out there.
Well, listen, God said that he would judge a nation for not judging righteous judgment when it comes to shedding the innocent blood. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. We weren't to shed the innocent blood. God told Manasseh, he said, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We are coming to a time, brother, where, we are going to answer for these sins, and we are answered. Barack Obama is a direct answer for sin, I believe, and I believe it's going to continue that way. And Americans, you got so many Christians out there that believe we don't deserve it. Whether you're post-trib or pre-trib, whatever you are, make no mistake about it. Even the churches deserve to go through the tribulation. I mean, just don't fool yourself. We need a call to repentance. We need to get right with God. We need to follow the word of God. We need to get rid of the wicked works of darkness out of our lives and repent and get right with him. That's what needs to take place in this country. God also says, be merciful. The Bible also says, be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge. Where we're facing right now, brother, is America has shed innocent blood, and God does judge nations. He said that he will judge them, and he said that all the nations will be turned into hell that forget God. They'll all be turned into hell, and they'll be destroyed when they forget God. And you know what? If we think that we can get away with shedding the innocent blood and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for what they did, how much more so does America deserve to be destroyed tonight for shedding the innocent blood? For not obeying God, for the violence that has filled the earth, for the fact that we entertain ourselves every day on television with violence mm-hmm. and witchcraft and wickedness.
Amen. That's right. That's right, brother.
And we wonder why the judgment is upon us, and we act like we don't deserve this, and that we have some righteousness about us, and America has some kind of moral uprightness to it, and we're slaughtering and murdering all over the world. We're slaughtering our own children here in America. We're soft killing people. They're being killed with the foods that they're being given. Half of the foods that we eat are causing cancer to people, and our American companies know all this, and these corporations know all this.
That's right.
You got Pepsi doing what they're doing with the taste flavors of abortion and everything else, the different stem cells and things like that that's going on with Pepsi products. Brother, America is just cursed, and it needs to repent of its wickedness. The citizens of America need to repent, and first and foremost, judgment must begin at the house of God. God's people must repent of their wickedness.
Amen, brother. You said it. You said it right. It's a call to repentance tonight, and we've got about a minute to go. But I'm just going to say tonight, there's not going to be any music play. There's not going to be anybody come down in front of the pulpit and give you a call to come down and bow. But I'm going to tell you right where you're at tonight. You ought to get on your face before God. You ought to lay it down at his feet. Put your children on his altar. Put your marriage, your family, put your church, your nation on the altar of God. I'm telling you tonight, we're doomed. The only hope we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Cooley, been good to be with you tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here same time next Thursday.
Amen, brother.
My friends, it's been good to be with you. As we say here every week, let God be true, but every man a liar. This is Brother Brandon Teague. We'll see you next time.